Welcome to Season 4 of Swiss Impact with Benegis. I'm Sveta.
And I am Ben. The topic of Season 4 is impactful businesses. Would you like to shift your capital to make positive impact and profit at the same time?
We will bring you amazing guests who are business owners, thought leaders, founders of impact investing funds, who will inspire you to invest with impact.
In this season, we will focus on high-impact, high-profit investment opportunities, which contribute to SDGs, better known as Sustainable Development Goals, as defined by United Nations.
We are hoping that when you watch this, you will shift your capital to serve all people and the environment.
We do not have time to wait for politicians and big banks to start acting on a big scale. Our aim is to establish an easy and quick match between impactful businesses and investors.
We will be broadcasting live every Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central European Time here on Swiss Impact with Benegis.
Impact is best when you invest. Good morning, afternoon, and evening to everyone. And today, our topic is, are we measuring social impact?
Wow, that's a lot of energy. Welcome back to our Season 4, Episode 8. We continue supporting impactful businesses which create positive impact around the world. Today, again, boring, we stay in Switzerland. And the show will be dedicated to social impact. We will discuss with our guest, of course. What do we mean by social impact? So you really will get it clear.
And we start with inviting you and all your friends all over the world to watch our programs. And yes, we invite you also to subscribe to our YouTube channel, not to miss any future exciting episodes. And that is youtube.com/Swiss Impact.
What will be your story of today, Ben? I'm scared.
It's not easy to find positive news under the present circumstances. So, but I had promised that I will stay positive in the beginning of this year, so I'll try to continue. Last time, I mentioned that the war in Ukraine had created two major issues. One, of energy dependency, and second is food security. Both are seriously impacted, and the effect of this war will be felt for decades, whether on ground level or in policy level.
I would say not only ground policy level, but for humans, for many generations.
Exactly. So, but even if we take a step further, then we see the happenings of the last 2 years. First, the supply chain problems caused by COVID to move away from China due to its threat to Taiwan. And now all the sanctions caused by the Russian invasion of Ukraine has shaken the roots of the foundation of globalization. From every normal citizen to heads of major corporations today are thinking of how to do business in keeping these events or these situations in consideration. Each country, each region, and big corporations and small corporations and businesses are thinking of bringing its production or business back to its home country or spreading the risk to more diverse location and reducing dependency on autocratic countries like Russia and China, thus dismantling what globalization has achieved in the last couple of decades. What I think might be an unintended side effect that the world again starts getting divided into two camps. But in conclusion, frankly speaking, I'm very positively surprised how Western leaders have finally started to understand the importance of getting away from fossil fuel as fast as possible. The negative side of this movement might be that we again have a divided world to live in.
Right. I mean, there are a lot of negative effects, but we decided to keep this story positive, right? So thank you, Ben, for sharing with us this news. And I'd like just to invite our guest of today right now into our studio, Juan Please, Juan Alarcón, please come join us. Hi, Juan. Yes.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, good. Great to see you. Where are you right now?
In Zurich. We have a wonderful weather. This is spring, and this is real spring. So we have sunny days, and birds are acting, and it's really fantastic.
Amazing. Same here. We are just at the neighbor canton, Zug. So we share your great weather, of course. Juan, it's amazing to have you with us today. I'd like to briefly introduce you to our audience before we will ask you many questions. So let's start with the following. You are the project director of Limot Foundation and founder of Swiss Social Center for Social Impact. But your background, as I'm really happy to always welcome financial people, you have a master's degree in economics and financial investment. You started with trading and then very quickly switched to social sector. We would love to hear about that journey a bit later. And for more than 30 years, from 1985 to 2018, you've been project director of the Limot Foundation, where you have directed more than 450 social projects in 40 different countries. That's awesome. It's amazing. And that's not all. You're also lecturing people, different NGOs and cooperation institutions on the topic of impact evaluation. And yeah, you are one of the inventors in this sector. You developed the methodology of the socioeconomic welfare index. It's called SEVI, applying and improving it within the Limot Foundation. And this is what we will discuss today. So welcome again, Juan, and we are happy to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
You're welcome, Juan. So we would love to hear more about your journey from economics and financial investment and what brought you here.
Well, I have to say I come from an entrepreneurial family. My grandfather was an exporter. I was born in a region in Spain where oranges and everything has to do with agriculture is very important. And they were exporting that all over Europe, even before the Spanish Civil War. And I've been an entrepreneur from the very beginning because it's in my DAN. So when I was working in Geneva for International Trading Company, I still have the feeling that I could do maybe something more for people in need. So that's why I joined the Limot Foundation. Its initiator, an engineer, Swiss engineer. Asked me to go to join the Limot Foundation. At the beginning, I said no because I was very happy with what I was doing. But he opened me a panorama which was fantastic. So I could do both, still be working in financial matters, but taking care more for deprived people in need. So I actually put both things together. So I start thinking a lot about social entrepreneurship. I have to say that's already in 1997.
Very early. Many people had no idea about that.
Most of the people have no idea about that. I organized, when the Limot Foundation became 25, I organized the first international conference on social entrepreneurship in Zurich. And it was difficult to find speakers for that because nobody talked about that. I remember, but you know, everything came together. I remember in 1998, I was invited to Colorado Springs to take part in the first national gathering of social entrepreneurships in the USA. And we were not so many people talking about this issue. But I was very happy because I have to tell them something. And so it's the beginning. Yes, they thought, they knew a lot about that. And so I came without the idea of this methodology to measure impact, because an entrepreneur needs figures.
Yeah.
And the social world is living exactly. without the key figures, because the key figure is impact. It was, as you told me so early, that I have to invent some terms. So I have to use, for instance, the terms of social benefit. Nobody talked at that time of social impact. I have to talk about social return, because everything I was using in the financial world, I was using as an entrepreneur, putting the word social became for me, yes, there were no other terminology. Nobody talked about that in the 90s, practically. So this is the shift. I must say that from the very beginning, I was thinking, how do you have to change your mind? You are an entrepreneur. You are now working in the social sector. But that's not have not to prevent you from thinking as an entrepreneur. And that was the whole idea in the 90s. I started developing and to create even a new balance sheet for social enterprises, because all the balance sheet of any foundation, if you don't know that that's the foundation in the center in social work, you don't know what they are. They have assets, they are invested in the stock exchange, they may have also real estates, so it could be anything. So the balance sheet doesn't tell you what is mission, what is real, what really about this institution working in the social sector.
Yeah.
Ah, so you're one of the pioneers of impact investment also.
So I started already in the 90s. So last century, yes. I can say last century.
Wow, that's a lot. That's all. What was the most important lesson you have learned in your waste entrepreneurial experience since then?
The most important lesson, this is something that I have prepared for the end of this topic, is that there is a very big difference between doing good and doing well. Doing good, I assume everyone working in the social world, the social sector, is aiming at that, at doing good things. But a very, very different thing is, I'm doing that well. I'm doing that efficiently. I'm solving really the problems, the social problem I was trying to solve or not. I'm doing that with the less resources possible, because all the resources we have, they are very scarce. They are very limited. So it's not an entrepreneur has got always in mind this idea. Am I efficient or not? The problem is that the financial market tells you immediately if you are doing things efficiently or not. If you are producing and the price is too high, you're not going to sell what you're producing. But we are always subventioned. We are always subventioning all the programs we are doing, because those are for people in need. So we don't have the response of our market. So we have to create and develop our own tools to know whether we are doing that efficiently and effectively or not.
And why is social enterprises so important to you? Or why does it matter to you?
You know, because actually people would like to do good things, and they see a problem, and their heart is moved immediately. And they say, oh, those people in need, I have to help them. But they don't think as an entrepreneur. Is my engagement sustainable or not? Mm-hmm. May I create dependencies on the beneficiaries of my project or not? Otherwise, I'm solving probably punctually at a certain time a certain problem, but it creates more problems in the long run. And that's why an entrepreneur is always thinking years ahead. He's not somebody who's only interested on the quarterly results. He's got an idea, he's got a vision, or her, because they are wonderful entrepreneur women, and it takes time. You know, magnanimity is for me the greatest virtue or value of any entrepreneur. Magnanimity means that I'm thinking high. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking great. I know that there will be problems, but I will overcome them and I have time. Okay? That's why the vision, to introduce the vision of an entrepreneur in the social world is for me so important.
Well, this is why I think Limot Foundation has just recently celebrated 50th anniversary on 13th of March. So 50 years, congratulations, under your leadership. So that's great.
Yes, I mean, yes. Sorry, Stella.
Yeah. So I'm just congratulating you. I didn't want you to leave it at the end of the show because it's a big thing, right? And it's so important to have people, visionaries, who are helping foundations to step forward and go with the time and not just rely on old terms thinking. I think it's very important what you were explaining before.
Yes, and I'm very great to the Lima Foundation because actually my vision on social impact has been a long-term vision. And in the Lima Foundation, they allowed me to experiment. I didn't come to this methodology like it is right now, so on the spot. The first time I started thinking about that was in the late 90s, but it took 10 years to really to redefine and to go to the details. And in the Lima Foundation, they allowed me to do that and to practice that, to experiment, to have pilot projects which would prove whether this methodology was working or not.
And this is all. Could you tell maybe a little bit about Limot Foundation? Because not everyone from our audience know about Limot Foundation. So
even I don't know.
What are they doing?
Okay. The Lima Foundation is actually the first umbrella foundation in Switzerland. It was created in 1972, already with this idea. May I have the symbol, the logo of the Lima Foundation? The next one, please. This one. You see that. The Lima Foundation, the logo is a bridge with the world. Mm-hmm. And the Lima Foundation is there to put together the two worlds. The world of the people who have money, who have resources, who want to do something good, and the beneficiaries, people in need on the other side. So we have presently 15 or 16 sub-foundations. Everyone has been created by different persons with different goals, aiming at projects with children or women. Some of them are in specifically for some countries or regions in the world. And everything has to do with education, because the vision of the Lima Foundation is that the development goes through education, through training. Mm-hmm. If we are improving infrastructures, but we are not investing in human capital, at the end, those people in need will be always dependent on us. Actually, what we are doing is putting them at a level where they can take the decision by themselves. This is what all about the Lima Foundation, training people, especially training of trainers programs, so that they can take their hands, their lives in their own hands and take their own decisions for development. During those 50 years, how many programs have we supported? 850, 900, probably more. Beneficiaries are millions because we have around 25,000 beneficiaries per year. But what is more important, it seems that since 12 years or more, we're measuring impact. We are not focused on results, how many people we are touching, but how mm-hmm. many lives we are improving, and how are we doing that, which is really what matters.
That's a very, very, very strong numbers and very strong point. But how do you assess the sustainability of the projects and what are their success rates?
Well, since practically the beginning, we set strategy that was something like that. We are supporting projects of local partners who are the one know really the needs in Kenya or in Colombia or in India. We cannot from here, from our offices, know what's happening everywhere, what are the needs of the people. So they are the big actors in the projects. We are supporting them, we are coaching them, we're helping them, but the idea has to come from them. And to be sure that they are going to be sustainability, they have to be involved also financially and strongly financially in the project. One of the first time I was in the beginning of the 90s, I was visiting a project. The budget was $100,000. And I told them, listen, the Lima Foundation is ready to put 50%. So 50,000. Mm-hmm. So they asked me, so it means that you have to put 50,000. Yes, indeed. So the budget is 100, so you have to put 50. Yes, but you know, we will work our whole life. We will never get this amount of money. I know that. So in that case, you don't want to help us. Yes, for sure. 50,000. I can write you a letter right now and tell you, and saying that the Lima Foundation is so full enough that we are supporting you with $50,000. So you go to the company which is producing cement and you will ask to contribute. You will go to the government and you will say, we need also teachers. You will go to the people which are producing steel bars and so on and so forth. So when you have the commitment of all those institutions that they will put 50% of the project, you will tell me and will contribute. And it happened 6 months later.
That's very smart.
Yeah, but 6 months later, it took 6 months to have all those commitments. You know, this project started in 94, 95, still working perfectly. They mm-hmm. have more than double the number of beneficiaries. And they have traveled enough during this time, all these years, to have closed many times. But it was their project. It was mm-hmm. not yeah. Lima Foundation's project. They have put, and I make financially, they say, okay, think a little bit. You have put 50, they have put 50. But if we calculate the 50,000 they put with the PPP, the parses parity, they have put 4 times more than you. That's their project.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So yes. Sustainability sometimes is a question of bringing the actors, the stakeholders, all the stakeholders of the social project mm-hmm. together, because they have, the government has obligations, and the companies there, they have also probably social projects that they are interested to support, and so on and so forth. So let's put them all together so you have a sustainable project. This one at least for 25 years.
Yeah, you just showed the logo of Lima Foundation, that it's a bridge which brings money from the rich to the, or people having resources to people who do not have. But is it as a investment or is it as philanthropic gift?
Normally, this is as philanthropic gift, but we can also mm-hmm. accept loans that to support the project. So we are now starting, and for many years we have supported institutions with loans. So we they have to repay for that. And I can say 95% or more, they were able to do so with a good, very accompanying and coaching, and sometimes they need more, but this is not impossible. And that we have been doing that for many, many, many years already.
Okay. Could you tell us more about impact of Limad Foundation in the Sustainable Development Goal number 5?
The gender equality.
Yes.
Yes, the gender equality. I mean, there is a picture there. I don't know whether you can bring it with the women working. Yes, thank you. You see, the Limad Foundation's more than 60% of their beneficiaries are women. And this is not something new. When I started to work in the mid-80s in the Limad Foundation, it was already like that. What I didn't know, because from outside, you don't know that, is that women are the motor of development. yes, madam. Yes. I've seen that so many times. Uh-huh. That's not a cultural question. It's the same thing in South America, in Africa, in Asia, and in Europe. Okay, so in Europe too. So the Limad, that's why I've been there since 85, women have been the focus of our project. Doing what? Training them so that they can take their own decisions. Many times, women in developing countries, they have to follow what man says. Why? Because they have no own resources. Yes, they are dependent. They are absolutely dependent. From the moment you train people, you train women, you train them in fields that where they can have an economical activity, where they can have our micro enterprises. We have you all been supporting so many women with micro enterprises, and they are fantastic. Some of them work at home, so they take care also of the family. But some of them, they have created enterprises that are exporting, so real businesses. And when you do that, you allow women to take their own decisions. They are no longer dependent on what men says, because they can say, hey, it's not like that. yes. Okay.
So, I live every day like that.
okay. So gender equality is all about empowering women so that they can take their own decisions, not be dependent always on men, which are bringing them on, who are bringing the money. And so at the end, who puts the money, take the decisions. This is not only in the world is exactly the same thing, but also in families.
Yeah. Then, I mean, there's an old saying that if you educate a man, you educate an individual. If you educate a woman, you educate a family.
Yes. So, you know, one of the first things I learned is the following. If you educate a woman, she will never allow that the daughters are not literate, because she knows what they would be missing if they are not trained. If she is an illiterate person, she doesn't know. So everything goes as before. So that's why it's so important to the training of women. We have supported, and I've seen that, from a completely illiterate Indian people in Bolivia or in Peru or in Ecuador. And I remember that. I was once in La Paz and I saw an Indian woman who was looking like that to a title and trying to spell it. Banco Central. And she started laughing. Was the central bank, was the body of... She has never been passing there for years. And she didn't know what that happened. Maybe she didn't know what that meant. But at the end, she knew that there is a B, there was an A, there was an N, and he was spelling that. And his face was illuminated.
Yeah, this is what I call true impact that is life-changing in the lives of people, you know. So it transforms the life completely from what you do. So that's amazing. Juan, let's talk a bit more about Swiss Social. Do I pronounce it correct?
Yeah, it is in English. Swiss Social.
Swiss Social, okay.
Word. Yes, it's in English. Yeah. Yes, that's a company I started in 2013. And the methodology was created at the beginning within the Lima Foundation, but it was also asked by other people, other institutions to measure social impact for the project. So I said, okay, I can do that from the Lima Foundation because a foundation putting notes to examine in another foundation is not the right thing. So Swiss Social is a consulting company aiming at our mission at optimizing social impact, because this is the most important thing. I don't believe in results. I think that results have to be there. And when I mean results, is how many people I'm training, how many microcredits I've given, how many scholarships I have. But that's important, has to be there. But now more important is to know what have done the beneficiaries with all the inputs they have received from the project, because this is actually what matters, and this is impact.
Right.
So when I was thinking like at this idea, I said, no, okay, I have to develop a methodology which allows me to measure, to evaluate the changes of beneficiaries, but not only in the aspects that are intended by the project, but in the whole living conditions. Because I can improve income. It has happened many times. But at this moment, those micro-entrepreneurs, they become the target of criminal bands. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to go anywhere else. They have, don't laugh. It's real life. Mm-hmm. I've seen that. And they say, okay, now we have here, those people are making money, so we can extortion them. We can steal the money from them. We don't have to go anywhere else, okay? So if you don't measure all the aspects related to human life, to human being, you may create a positive impact on one side.
And negative, of course.
And a negative on the other one. Yep. I have a very nice example. Make you go to the pictures of the children, because it's so. You see this is a slum in Cali, Colombia, and we were people living there. They don't have anything, no water, no electricity, nothing. Okay, this is a so-called invasion place, and we were asked to co-finance a school for the children living from these areas. And so we did that. The question is that there is a river between the school and the slum where the people, where children live. And so to cross the river, they have to do exactly these kind of things. The problem is when the river grows up because there is a lot of rain. So,
right.
And children, they have serious security problems. So what you do normally, you say, okay, let us build the bridge. And we build the bridge. What happened? This is the bridge, okay? What happened? tell me.
I don't know yet. They are jumping from the bridge now to the river.
What happened is that at the same place where the children live, there were also a lot of criminal bands. Mm-hmm. So we opened a highway to the criminals who could go through the bridge and make their facts in the neighborhood where the school was. Mm. Now, since we are measuring not only education improvement in education, because it was an educational project, we would say, okay, confined to that one, we're measuring everything which is happening. We saw that the security, we have created a security problem.
Mm-hmm.
So
how did you solve that? You destroyed the bridge, or what did you do?
No. There was we thought a little bit, and the solution was fine. It said we put some barriers, okay, one behind the other, so that motor or cycles cannot go through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, exactly the same thing that the peasants do in Swiss Alps. to impeach that cause goes with, okay, exactly. We took exactly the same example. So children, they were playing, going like that to see, making competitions, and criminals band could now go through. Now, but what I mean is, if we are only measuring the impact of what we were intended to do to produce, we would have missed this important part. It may happen also in security, but also in human and civil rights that we are measuring is part of the indicators we are taking. We are not only measuring the quality of infrastructure, we are also measuring the access to health care. We are measuring everything which is related to the human being.
The impact measurement topic is very, I mean, still, it's very difficult for many to measure the impact correctly. This is why we really appreciate any input that you are sharing with everyone, you know, because we also even created one TV show called How to Measure Impact. But the practical aspects like you share, it's really gold price. Tell us more about socioeconomic welfare index that you have created.
Yes, we could have this slide. That's right. Here we have it. So it comes from the idea is that everyone which a human being has got is either individual or the tangible. Individual or the collective, because it's a human being, person living in a society. But from the other side, he's also has got a body, so needs tangible material things, and has got spirit, so needs intangible things. So we're measuring, we have chosen 9 indicators, which is our income, net asset, and access to healthcare from the side of the individual tangible, general studies, general education, but also professional, vocational training. And those are the two we are measuring for the individual tangible. But is living in society and public infrastructure, public services, sanitary conditions, we forget that many times, but they are living with those one, but also right. Security and accessibility of human and civil rights. So we have with that we have a scale from 0 to 100. 0 is your death, you've got nothing. 100, you're living on the conditions of paradise on earth. Okay. So it never happens.
Do you have anywhere such indicator? Maybe we should go there.
No, 100, I don't have, never, okay? but okay, somebody who has got 5 PhDs from the point of view of the general education would be at the level of 95, 99, which you put whatever you want. But so we were working for years to fine-tune those indicators, and we do that for the region where the impact evaluation are evaluated. I laugh always when I hear that the $2 income per day is the minimum. Sorry, you have no idea. It depends on. Maybe $2 income per day is a huge amount. If you're living, I don't know where, and you still have in-kind income. Because somebody is giving you potatoes or fruits or vegetables or whatever it is. So we go and we try to make a high resolution picture of the situation where those people live. And we have the scales from 0 to 100. So, and that's very important. We have to start with a baseline before the project starts so that we can trace the changes that the project is producing in the beneficiaries. We also need a control group because some of the changes may be attributed to general changes in society. So we have to know that whether we can attribute.
What would have happened anyway, right? Without you, you need to know that.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we can really say those changes are attributable to this project. And we learned a lot. I learned a lot. Every time I make an impact evaluation, I have done dozens of them. I'm amazed how changes are cannot be foreseen, because you give an input, for instance, for income generation, and you see at the end that they are improving their access to healthcare. And you say, exactly. Okay, why? Because, yeah, people are thinking, okay, or they're improving their general education because they realize, no, I need to be more educated if I now have to run small micro enterprise. I cannot stay with my primary school degree. I need to go for more. And this is something which has been provoked by the project, so I can attribute it to the project, but was not foreseen. Many of the changes that we can see in the projects when making impact evaluations were not intended at the beginning.
Right. Have any tips for social entrepreneurs who are just starting to measure impact? Very practical. Could they use your methodology? Is it available online somewhere? Or what would you suggest to them who are new?
Yes. In the webpage of the Swiss Social, www.swisssocial.org or com, there is an article I published already 2002, the first version, something like that,
valid.
Completely valid. So every year I read it again. I say, I have to change something. I say, no, I don't have to change anything. The question is that the most difficult thing there is to adapt, to create the scales at the place where you are living. One Swiss franc is not the same in Zurich than in Paris or in Nairobi, okay? So those scales is something that has to be fine-tuned. But the more important than that is that you cannot really measure impact if you don't start creating a real baseline. Right. When people come to me and say, we have finished a project, could you please measure our social impact?
Okay,
give me a coin. And I would put like that and say, yes or not. I have no idea how they were 3 years ago. How can it? Okay. Yes, I mean, well, any entrepreneur knows how much he is investing. How much is your return? My return, now I know how much money do I have, but I have no idea how much I invested. Okay, I can't calculate the return. Yeah, yes, but I mean, for any entrepreneur, it's clear. But in the social world, they think that we can, what was my impact? I have no idea, sorry, okay.
But what you're saying is so rational and so logical. So still, what are the main constraints about impact measurement worldwide?
Okay, let us put it like that. There are four reasons to measure impact. The first one is because a donor asked you to do that. The second one is because your board asked you to do that. the third one is because you think, I would like to know whether I'm changing life or not. All those three are not relevant for me. There's only one which is really important. I want to improve my social projects. Now, the question is the following. Let's suppose I've been for 35 years project director of the Lima Foundation, and every time I have taken the decision to support a project, I thought it was the right decision. And now comes somebody, makes an impact evaluation, and tells me, sorry, your project has no impact. Wow. Hey, what should I do to close it? Well, this is my project. Okay, I've been working for 5 years with those women. I have a lot of examples like that because we have helped institutions to close. I think that the most, the kick there is for social institutions to be ready to change, to take seriously what facts and figures are telling them. Because otherwise, I'm doing good things. That's okay. That's enough for me. That's for good. I'm doing that for good. Okay? But I'm not doing that well. So, if people would start thinking, and I have heard that many times, why do you have so many beneficiaries? Because my donor asked me to do so. Yeah, but 50% of them, they are not able, they are not ready to start a business. Yeah, but in the donation, it was written that I need 200. Yeah, okay, but there is only 100. So your impact would be the 50% of what should have been. Yes, but I'm asked to do so. So this is also from the side of the donors, not to put pressure on the institution in the social mm-hmm. sector to deliver results, but to mm-hmm. deliver impact.
Right. Are the foundations under Limit Foundation happy being hunted with such strict methodology?
Oh yes. I can. This is not because I've been working there, but I've read as a comment of the present project director saying, we give more attention to projects which are coming with a social impact measurement, especially if they are done by Swiss Social, because they know what we do, and that's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. I cannot guarantee 100% it's going to work, okay? But if you know this project is delivering impact or could deliver more because you are measuring that, you as the donor, you are more confident and you can say, okay, I would like to stay with this institution.
Right. Juan, we feel so much love and passion about impact measurement when you are talking about it. But how it is different to impact measurement methodologies from others? There are so many around there. Just very briefly in bullet points, how is your methodology different? Why it is the best?
The best, I don't know. I have some very good competitors, I must say. I have very, you know, my methodology.
Why it is so good, as you're saying?
Yeah, because we have a 360 degrees approach. Mm-hmm. Because we are measuring the intended or unintended effects on mm-hmm. on the beneficiaries. Because we use objective data. Many people, this is not only, 50% thinks that. Okay, they can think whatever, but real facts. We are also have proved this methodology in four continents. And mm-hmm. We know that it works in Asia, right. Africa, Europe, and South America. And because we are using scales which are completely focused on the reality of the beneficiaries in the places where they live. And, sorry to say that, because this is me, I have 35 years experience as project director. And many, I've seen, somebody told me, for an impact evaluation, I told the people in the institution, why did you choose Swiss Social? First of all, because we understand what we are proposing us, okay? And secondly, and there was an university, okay? I don't say where, and we didn't understand all the things they wanted to do. Uh-huh. And secondly, because you've got experience in directing social projects. So you know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So probably those are the most important things why Swiss Social methodology is different. Also, because it's beneficiary-centered. I tell people, actually a little bit provocative, that, you know, your project, it does not interest me. Yeah? And they look at me like that. Sorry, but you're going to measure the impact? No, I'm going to measure not your project. I'm going to measure the beneficiaries. Mm-hmm. The beneficiaries, you are the expert, and you're going to improve their living conditions through income generation or access to healthcare. But that's your problem. You know how to do that. For the beneficiaries, they're happy if they improve their living conditions. I'm going to measure that. Did you succeed in improving that? Yes or not?
That sounds amazing. For me, I agree with this approach. You know, I like it. It's really cool. But could you tell us a concrete process of how do you measure impact? How much time does it take? Like the concrete actions, how do you measure impact?
Yeah, okay. And that's a very good question. Thank you. You know, to measure impact, you need time. And this is what many institutions don't want to have. because they have to measure results. When the project is finished, I can finish my project and close it up. To measure impact, we start studying the region where the beneficiaries live. We train people in the institution we are working with, because we are, our methodology is not a black box. We go there, we measure, we deliver a paper. Normally those papers, they finish in the, I don't know where, but nobody takes care of that. We involve people of the organizations we are working with, because they are the main actors, because they have to know that they have to change. They have got the results by their own. We have helped them to have those results, but those are what they have seen. We establish a baseline. We let the project go. Mm-hmm. And 1 year, depending on the kind of beneficiaries, the age of the beneficiaries, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years after, we go and make the so-called ex post evaluation. An evaluation with the same parameters, with the same questionnaires, exactly the same, to the people who have finished the project. Because it takes time. Right. I cannot have an impact evaluation the day the project is finished. They have finished their courses. They have no job because they have not. They have had time to enter into a job, to look for a job, or to start the. And if you don't have this time, you cannot make impact evaluation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need 2-3 years. I would say that's practically the maximum, because afterwards, if you start measuring impact 5 years later, the changes in society are so big. Especially nowadays, that how can you attribute your findings to the project and not to many other things? Or maybe also another institution in the same community is starting a new project. Okay, I mean, so 3 years, 3-4 years is the maximum, but it's time. The time is long enough to really have real, reliable data to know whether impact is there or not.
That's very practical. Thanks for sharing it with everyone. And what is actually the Swiss social metrics? You mentioned it.
Yeah, the Swiss social metrics is exactly the core that we apply to all kind of beneficiaries. And this is that the human being has tangible and intangible goods, services, resources, but also individual and collective. But this is very different. Think about a child 3-4 years old going to a kindergarten. I cannot use income. I cannot use net assets. The whole security is his family and the conditions we are living. So for every project, for every type of beneficiaries, we adapt the indicators to the ages and to the conditions. They are thinking about youngsters. So, for instance, the security is very important. The relationship, social communities, Facebook, and the time they interact in the web. Those are more important than infrastructures, for instance. So we adapt according to the type of beneficiaries, the indicators that we are using, but always covering those four big fields, tangible and intangible, individual and collective. This is the so-called matrix, right. Swiss social matrix.
And the Swiss social, do you plan to expand your market, and do you plan to or consider to include impact businesses in the targeted users?
So everyone would measure impact, you know?
Yes, I wish. My development strategy is to establish joint ventures with other consulting companies around the world, where we can bring our methodology and have agreements with them. So
I know already one who would like to collaborate.
Okay.
Things cool.
Okay, great.
That we're running. Let's do that.
Okay, yes, with pleasure. So, because we have the so-called copyright, but I mean, there is no patent. It's not patentable, this kind of ideas. And we can do everything. So we have already started in Colombia with a company there, a consulting company, such an agreement. We become investors. Swiss Social become investor of the company. And they can use our methodology, and it's working very well. And so we plan to do that also in Kenya. I have already some ideas, and in another country. So this is in Finland too. Mm-hmm. And okay, this is my model, my business model.
Mm-hmm. But what kind of companies are those? Are they NGOs, foundations, or businesses? So because we have worked a lot also with social businesses directly, can they use your methodology?
Oh, definitely. We're having the three kind of them. Most of them are foundations. Uh-huh. There are also some NGO, small NGOs, but very good managed. And we have also worked already with a big company in South America to measure social impact of a group of people working with them, selling their products. Okay, so we are ready to do that for anyone, because I can say if I would have time, I could also measure the social impact of Nestle. Well, no problem. Okay. Yeah, but I mean, it could take a little bit of time. So I prefer, and I prefer to devote my time to smaller companies or smaller corporate social responsibility departments, or not to go to the big picture. It may come, but it takes time.
Juan, how could our audience support you with your mission?
As me, they could support
your organization, Limat Foundation,
Limat Foundation, yes. Because my heart is also there. I am more in the impact evaluation, but I've been working for 35 years there, and I know they it's so I cannot say the best, but it's on the top. I don't know how many, but the top 10, top, so it's very well managed, and especially because this idea that measuring impact is practically conditioned for they to support projects. They are not only doing that with me, but I mean, it's a guarantee for the donors. If they put $1, they would know that this dollar is not only well used, used for a good purpose. Okay, is not only control that the money goes to the beneficiaries. Okay, this is important. Uh-huh. But that this dollar will produce changes in the life of the beneficiaries, which is the key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, okay. So I mean, support me. I'm a businessman and entrepreneur, so I have my business. If somebody would like to have impact evaluation of one of the projects or whatever it is, okay, can contact me through the web or send you an email. Say, hey, could you please give me the details of Juan Alarcón? With pleasure, I will do that. But I mean, this is something that I don't say that I don't need, but it's more important to support people like the Lima Foundation or other organizations which are measuring impact. Not only results.
Yeah. No, what you're saying completely, because also for our sector, for impact sector, it is very important to measure impact. Every investor today asks for it. So we are coming to the end of the time. Can you please share any call to action for our global audience?
Yes. I would like to have the two last slides, please. This is the one. Doing good and also doing well. Don't forget that if you're not doing well, if you're not really acting as an entrepreneur in the social world, you are not doing well. Maybe you are doing good things, you try to do good things, but that's not enough. And please, the last, is not measured. Can hardly be improved. And you see the guy there in the middle with the pencil, which I tell you, the stock exchange is going up. Social impact should always go up. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This is what I, but this measure. You can invent your own metrics, but if you don't measure, how can you know that you are doing well? If you're not doing well, what are you actually doing?
Wow, that's awesome. I feel the pioneer of impact measurement. You are the true one, no doubt. Thanks so much for joining us today, Juan. It was amazing. And usually impact measurement is quite a dry topic. You know, people don't want to learn about it. But I think today we managed to make it lively and understandable for everyone. As a little thank you, please register on Chamomile Impact Community and we will upgrade your membership. We would be honored to have you as our member.
So Ben, Steva, thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you. And I have many other topics to discuss if you want.
With pleasure. We will reach out to you and continue our dialogue. Absolutely. Yeah.
And you have our contact details. We will see. And we live next to each other in the canton. So
Let's meet in person. Let's meet in person. This is what we suggest. To enjoy the sun.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And see you soon, I hope.
And yes. Happy anniversary again to all you, to all Limad Foundation team from us. It's amazing what you guys are doing. Happy anniversary. Another 50 years to come.
Thank you very much and see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So, dear viewers, with this episode 8 ends today, and we will be back next Friday with another amazing show. Please don't forget to subscribe to our channel, youtube.com/Swiss Impact.
And we invite all impactful businesses who are seeking investment or support to our TV as a guest so that they can also receive the support or resource they are looking for.
So, and remember, you get more when you give back.
So,
always invest with impact. Bye for now.
Bye. Hey, we hope you enjoyed this episode of TV show Swiss Impact with Banerjee's.
Make sure you check out the next one and also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Spotify, podcasts, and any of your favorite social media places.
And please subscribe to our channel so you know when we release new episodes.
And also leave us some feedback to help us grow this awesome impact community.
We look forward to sharing the next episode with you. And until then,
impact is best when you invest.